like to make a couple of comments for everybody. I know not everybody knows me well in the room. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about who I am, but most importantly, I want to talk about where we go from here. And I first thing I want to say, and there's a reason why I picked this as the first thing I want to say, because I think it's the most important thing that we say in here, and that is I would concur strongly that both Danny and Gopal Krishna have given a great deal of time, a great deal of effort, a great deal of sincere passion to this party. My only hope is that passion and that sincerity, and I have no doubt about the sincerity, and the work will continue. I worked with Danny for many years. In fact, I was thinking on the way in here, I remember a conversation right after Grinnell College finally got him due to no fault of his own in a legislative race, and we had a long talk that evening about where we go from here. I felt bad then, but I had hope that he would continue. I relish nothing at this point, and I hope that we continue to work together. So I want to lead off with that, and there's a reason why I led off with that, because I think it's important that that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth at this particular meeting. In terms of who am I, you've got an opportunity, in some ways the same opportunity with me that you had with Danny. I've got thousands of votes out there. And so I've got a voting record. If anybody's interested, they can look it up. It's pretty dry reading. And if anybody certainly wants to talk with me about my views over the years, I was very lucky. I was a part for 8 years of a fiscally conservative caucus. I was a part for many years of a pro-life, pro-family caucus. And I was a part of a caucus that for 8 years was an individual freedom caucus. There were times I was looking through some of my old folders the other day about all of the hit essays that were written about me, most of them from Democrats, some of them within the party, and I was thinking about all the faces that you have to wear when you're in the business of lawmaking. Of course, now I'm in the business of helping to elect lawmakers. But when I was in that business of lawmaking, I remember with the property rights, I kind of laugh a bit when people say, well, he's the establishment guy. I can assure you, I made many, many, many establishment people very, very irritated in those days. In fact, I remember one person wrote a letter to the editor saying, this guy's liberty. I kind of took that as a badge of honor. I remember our fight against partial birth abortions. And in that particular case, we worked with, and as a speaker pro tem, I worked with every single evangelical Christian group there was out there, and there was no space between the caucus and those groups, and there was no space between myself and those groups. Unfortunately, we lost that one, and we lost that one because we passed the bill and it died. And it died because we didn't win elections in the Senate. Working with the governor, you bet I have. And I'm going to continue to work with the governor. Does that make me establishment? Well, I looked up in a history book, and through the years, Ronald Reagan, Chuck Grassley, John Hancock, and Thomas Jefferson have all been accused of being part of the establishment. If continuing to work with the governor and continuing to work with Chuck Grassley makes me part of the establishment, let me put on that third hat. Working in economic development, I've been criticized multiple times. He's just pro-business. All he's about business and tax, et cetera, et cetera. Let me put on that fourth hat. And I suppose if you look at a few of my votes, especially some of those votes on water quality and the environment, you may be able to throw the moderate hat at me too on occasion. Bottom line is, if you ask me what I am, I'm going to answer that I'm a Republican. I'm going to answer that I'm a conservative Republican that was part of a conservative Republican caucus. If you want me to be any more specific than that, you're going to have to give me not only the year, you're going to have to give me the day, depending on that particular issue and how, no offense, the media wants to place me in what box on that particular time. That's why, as chair of the Republican Party, I think the number one goal that I have is to elect Republicans. Because almost every lawmaker out there, and I would imagine almost every person around this table, also wears all of those hats, depending on the issue and depending on the time. Because quite frankly, I don't think those hats are helpful, nor do I think those hats are particularly accurate. And so I'm in the business of helping to elect Republicans now. And my test is going to be to ask them, what party are you from? What party do you represent? And if the answer to that, after a duly fair primary that the people spoke. If the answer is Republican, I'm your new best friend. A couple of other things in terms of what I hope to do. Raising money. Money is not about ownership. I'm talking about $5 contributions, and I'm talking about $25,000 contributions. And quite frankly, folks, I'm not going to talk about the situation we're in right now, because that means we're looking backwards, and that means we're being critical, and that's not what I'm going to do today. We don't have time. But we've got work to do. And we're going to go after those. And what we need to do is we need to instill confidence in those particular donors. I've been in that minority for 4 years. I've sat in that chamber, and I've been run over like there was a freight train coming over me. And I've been run over on social issues. I've been run over on fiscal conservative issues. And the reason I was run over is because someplace in that process, somebody didn't get elected. And if you go to the root cause of why somebody didn't get elected, 9 times out of 10, there wasn't the resources to get the message out. It wasn't about buying the message. It was about counteracting a whole variety of interest groups that are pouring the distorted message of Democrats out there. So in order to do what we want to do, we have to increase, we have to do a much, much better job. And that is not castigating anyone. I'm talking about we as in Republicans. Not a particular chair, not a particular member, not a particular anyone. We have to, we must do a better job. Or I'll tell you what's going to happen in a conservative Republican House next year. It's going to be dead on arrival because of usually one senator. That's the bottom line. And that's true in our county courthouses. That's true in the United States House of Representatives. That's true in the United States Senate. And this is not just about 2014. This is about 2016. Because if we don't change things there, we've got the ultimate stopgap for what Republicans believe. And I know we all agree on that. I don't think there's any space whatsoever. I feel that my role here, along with everyone else, when I say everyone else, I don't just mean the people around this table. I mean we, as in the hundreds of thousands of Republicans in this particular state. I believe I need to be a voice for the party, our platform, our vision. We are not going to get 100% agreement. It's not going to happen for one simple reason. We're human beings. But what we can get is we can get an agreement of where we are moving. I couldn't agree more with Mr. Johnson when he said that we all around this table believe in those five pillars. I know it's an overused cliche, but I think it works here better than anything. And it's what Ronald Reagan purportedly stated when he said, if we agree 80% of the time, that doesn't make us 20% enemies. It makes us friends, it makes us colleagues, it makes us allies, and it will make a Republican United States Senate, a Republican state Senate, a Republican president, and Republicans from the top to the bottom. That's what that state means to me. And when I say we, I mean all of us. And I'm not even going to repeat the various factions. You know what they are, and I don't think they're helpful. But I think it applies to all of us. And the last thing that I want to talk about is ultimately where we want to be. And this isn't specifics and details like money, like get out the vote efforts, et cetera. And very, very soon, the next co-chair and myself will be producing a very specific vision of what we want to do and how we're going to attempt to accomplish that. And yes, we're late, but we're not late because of today. We're late because of many, many, many mistakes. We got a roll. But you know what? We would be in this predicament regardless because we're behind the eight ball. The Democrats are ahead of us in many areas. We got to play catch up and then we got to surpass them. And that's exactly what all of us intend to do. I know I'm speaking for everybody around this table in that particular situation. But ultimately, it all boils down to that person on the grassroots. This thing today is not about Danny Carroll and it's not about me. It's not about any of us around here. It's about those individual grassroots. I remember the last year I was in the legislature, a young lady from Shenandoah, Iowa, I have never met before, had a bill and it was assigned to me in judiciary. And I'll be honest, there was a pile of bills. I didn't look at it right away until she came to visit me. She had tried getting this bill through many, many times. Now, it's not going to seem like a major situation. It's not going to be something that shows up in our platform, probably not even party platforms. But she had just buried a stillborn child. And in the state of Iowa, a stillborn child has no birth certificate. For her, that was everything. That was the state of Iowa not counting her stillborn child as a life. It was everything the Republican Party and this committee stands for. It was about the unborn. It was about life. It was about families. It was about individuals. It was about freedom. It was about individual legislators talking to individual people coming to us. The bill went through, got it in front of the House. I asked the young lady to come and sit beside me. And as that bill passed, she sat there with tears in her eyes, because the process and the government and everything worked the way it was supposed to work. There is nothing we can say in here as members of this central committee that are going to have more power than the act of that young lady sitting up on that board with those Republicans that were elected because of hard work of the grassroots, money that was raised to get our message out, that is more powerful than that. And I'll guarantee you, when it all boils down to it, we're going to go so far, and we're going to work our hearts out. But when it all boils down, it's one person, one vote, one response, and we have to have one party in order to do that. And we have the pillars, we have the themes that can unite us and bring us together. And that's precisely the reason. And here's a warning for the media: when you ask me questions later, you're not going to get me to look backwards. If you want that, come and sit in my history class, because we're moving ahead. And I humbly thank all of you for your votes, and I respect you, Tamara, for your not voting. Thank you. And now I believe...
The co-chair.